And now we're here with Christy Patton and Shane. What's your last name? Norris. About talking to us about a new school that is being started here in New Orleans called the New Orleans School for Esoteric Arts. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah. So I guess just to start off, what is the New Orleans School of Esoteric Arts? What's the idea?
Basically, we just noticed that there was a need in the community to teach about things that a lot of people will call mystery schools or occult studies, so astrology, tarot, palmistry, things of that nature. And then it just kind of expanded into some things that included visual arts, and then, of course, your dream, archetypes class, and we have a class on magical herbs. And so really it was just grown. I mean, originally this session we were just going to do maybe 10 classes, and now we have over 30, so it's pretty, people just kept suggesting things that we loved, and so we just kept adding classes, and so here we are.
What was the reason that you got involved in the first place to start this?
Well, I've wanted to get this going since I was about 12 or 13 years old, actually, and now I'm in my early 30s, and the reason was just very simply that whenever I was a teenager, I wanted to go to a school like this, and there wasn't one, which I assume there would be one in New Orleans because I grew up in Baton Rouge, and you always think of New Orleans as this magical, witchy place, and then there wasn't, and so I just kind of resolved, like, by the time I turn 30, if there isn't one of these schools, I'll just do it myself. And then, Shane had a lot of experience with running a Botanica store, and he's really well-versed in a lot of the local magical arts and things that I'm not so strong in, so it was a really good partnership there.
Great. So can you give me some other – well, I guess the first thing to ask is, like, how do you determine, what is something that's good to teach at the school? Or, like, what are you looking for in terms of your teachers? Or what kind of experience would you like your students to have?
Basically, the classes that we choose, as long as we can tie it back to some type of non-religiously oriented spirituality, then it basically makes the cut. So, I mean, I say that, but we have a class on Kabbalah this session, and we have a couple of kind of cross-study, like, religion courses coming up. And so even though we aren't affiliated with a church doctrine, we do teach kind of, I guess, what we would call, like, the old, kind of the roots of a lot of modern religion, Judaism, Christianity, things like that. We should have a class on the Gnostic Gospels sometime this year as well. And so, I don't know, did you want to say something about that?
Well, we wanted to present to the community alternatives to where the basis of mainstream religion, where they came from, and how that the things that are used in how it brought mainstream religion to be mainstream religion. Like, for instance, in the Catholic Church, you use frankincense in the censure. Well, that has a basis long before the Catholic Church was founded, and that sort of things, to tie it all in for people to who are not necessarily mainstream religion, but do have a deep spirituality and a deep love for such things, and especially the city of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you guys have mentioned already, like, why it's important to have something like this in New Orleans. I mean, what do you see the city bringing to the school?
Well, we've received almost an overwhelming amount of support from the community. I mean, there's been times when, I don't know if this has happened with Shane, but I'll be in a coffee shop and I'll literally overhear people talking about it. And it's almost mind-blowing to think, that people are so excited, because I was always so excited about it. So I never actually stopped and considered if someone else would be so excited about it. I just kind of did it and knew that kind of the universe had our back. And so that's definitely been, really awesome as a support. And as far as the community in general, I mean, our mission statement is to empower and illuminate the city of New Orleans. We feel very strongly that if people will understand themselves better, they'll understand others better. And then we can, in turn, rise the level of, love and compassion and all these things. And then, crime will decrease and hopefully, at least. And so we really just want people to be a little bit more self-aware. That's kind of just our whole premise, is showing people that, you can be self-aware and you can be a good, moral person, for lack of a better word, without, needing to go to church every week and have any kind of guilt, associated with something that would come along with that. So
Yes, to expound on what you said, in the 90s, we used to do spiritual ceremonies in the streets in the Bywater, long before the Bywater was such gentrification. And we would do ceremonies to get rid of the crack cocaine in the streets. And there was always a huge, huge outpouring for that. It seemed to be a huge need for that. And I ran a botanical store down in the Bywater at that time as well. And every Friday, I ran it as a speakeasy. So you came into the store, you could say just about anything. And there were some limits, obviously no racism and no sexism and such speeches as that. But everybody, almost every Friday, someone would bring up the fact that these arts needed to be taught. And that was in the 90s. Mm. And then I ran into Christy. We became friends, and she presented me with this idea. And I told her that she should live her dream, and I'd help her with it. And here we are today, talking to you.
Yeah. Did you have something?
Well, I was looking. I'm kind of sitting here on the website, looking at all the offerings, and I'm like, oh, I want to take that. I want to take that. Are all the courses like 8 weeks? Is there a general format that they follow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're doing 8 week courses that are once a week. Some of them are 1 hour. Most of them are about 2 hours. Starting next session, I think we've been talking about it, and we haven't really kind of set on a decision yet, but we are going to offer some classes that aren't quite as lengthy, maybe 4 or 6 week classes. A lot of our teachers have asked us to do that. We've had some people who want to come stay in the city, and take classes with us, maybe from out of town. We have actually some people in France who have been emailing us about coming over, and that's really mind-blowing, but I think a lot of people, 8 weeks is a little long to commit, so we're looking into doing some shorter things. And then Shane is actually in charge of lectures and workshops and things like that. So we will be starting that actually at least by mid-March, if not the end of March, and we hope to have weekly lectures. Right now we have a dinner salon that's getting lined up, which will be a plant-based kind of dinner event, which will be really exciting. And then for April, we have a meditation workshop that's being discussed. We have a lecture on the dark feminine and sacred goddess archetypes.
In March.
Oh, okay. So that'll be in March. So we have a lot going on. I mean, I would have to pull up a list, I guess, to tell you how many workshops we have. Shane is taking hold of that. So we will have just things that are 4 to 6 hours on a Saturday or Sunday. So people who do work, who maybe couldn't come to a Wednesday astrology class, would be able to come and kind of get involved and network with us without having to commit to a full program.
Yeah, I'm looking out on here. You have something going on every day of the week.
Yeah.
It's really packed.
Yeah, every day, I believe from 10 to 7 every day, and then some days it's going to go from 9 to 10 p.m., 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. So just depends on the day, but every day between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m., every day of the week, we'll have stuff going on. So, and we also, something that's cool, we haven't started advertising this on our website or social media yet, but we do have a couple of licensed counselors on our staff, and we'll be offering spiritual counseling to the community at a very affordable rate. So it'll be a sliding scale, just kind of if someone can afford to pay, then that's great. And if they can't, then they'll just work it out with a counselor. And both of our counselors are fluent in Spanish. One of them is fluent in a couple of other languages as well. So it'll be open to pretty much anyone in the city, who needs that. And a lot of people would like to go to therapy, but maybe they can't afford a traditional, psychoanalyst or psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. Their insurance might not cover it. Maybe they don't have insurance. And then additionally, the other services that tend to be more affordable tend to be based, on church organizations. And a lot of people don't feel comfortable, going to churches to talk about things that maybe they feel, they'll be judged for. So we're going to open the doors to, just spiritual counseling. Obviously, no judgment. Anyone who needs that will be there for them. So
you've been mentioning a couple times about, sort of a tension that has arisen in our society between spirituality and religion. And I'm just curious, how this fits in with that to you and what kind of experiences you've seen people have.
Well, just personally, I mean, I was raised in a very religious household, and, we went to church probably 5 times a week. And And I just always really felt like I couldn't 100% be myself, or at least be honest about how I felt or what I thought or what I believed. And I never really vibed with that. I mean, I remember being 7 years old and sitting in church services and just being like, man, I don't like this, you know? So, and it just never hit home for me. And, you know, some people that's their network. That's their little nest, and they do really well. But I feel like, you know, the majority of people are starting to really just kind of walk away from those kind of, I mean, I think they're rather old school. I don't know if that's the best way to describe it, but just these old, almost, you know, a lot of institutions tend to be very judgmental or rigid, or they get too involved with politics that might not be beneficial for community as a whole. And we just really know that there's a need for people to have a spiritual connection, whether they were raised Lutheran or Catholic, or they're atheist or they're Wiccan or whatever, and just be able to all come together. That's really just all we want, is just kind of to unify everybody with the common ground that we're all humans and we all have hurts and we all have needs and we all need to feel like we're a part of a community, you know? So.
Yeah. Oh, I was glad that Kezia brought that up, because as you were talking, I was sitting here thinking about all of the trauma that people have associated with religion.
Right.
And exactly. Whether or not there's any, like, y'all address that directly.
I personally try to stay away from pointing fingers and faults in certain institutions or corporations, as I like to call them. But yeah, I mean, I think that even without listing things, I mean, people are aware of, you know, kind of the history of certain dogmas, and, you know, whether they have committed genocide or they're just not supportive of women's rights or LGBT rights. I mean, it's you know, there's...
Runs the gamut.
Yeah, I mean, it really does. The full spectrum of mm-hmm. discrimination and violence kind of tends to be associated with these institutions. And a lot of them are, at least from my experience, and I follow statistics on, you know, like, our churches closing or at a pretty rapid rate, you know, and I don't know the exact statistic, but I know on NPR they've been talking about it a lot and things like that, just about how people are just really walking away from this. And we just feel really strongly that there's just the shift in consciousness, and the wave is really moving more towards a spiritual center and less towards kind of a theology based beliefs. So,
well, like, the esoteric arts were born from spirituality, and then they were tied in together in the beginning, mm-hmm. spirituality and religion. And then a religion got really strict and decided they wanted to be in charge of everything. And they bastardized, if you will, or ostracized the esoteric arts and made them seem that path was a path to a negative side other than a positive side. And, you know, even though they were still practiced underneath, mm-hmm. and a lot of times they were even practiced with the blessing of the church, but just not an open blessing of the church. And we wanted to bring that back out into the open and go, you know, this is how it ties in together. But there's no Pope. There's no your path to your spirituality is between you and that spirit and what you believe in, be it God or Allah or the forest,
or the universe,
like you know. I mean, I practice an alternative religion myself, but it's all about bringing out the good in people and bringing out your best and how you interact with your community. You support and bring up your community, bring up the people in your community, and everybody's equal. You know, there's no hierarchy. There's no. I guess there's no Satan, I guess you will. There's nobody to blame the bad on.
Yeah,
you know?
If you make a bad decision,
you
it's your fault.
You make the bad decision, it's you. You know, you make a good one, it's also you.
Yeah.
Free will.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think, you know, all religion is bad or trying to bring down the institution,
no.
You know, because
not
I think
all.
There's so many people who are in religion looking to, you know, this other side to expand, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, the Pope himself right now is a really interesting guy.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
He's done some shocking things, I think.
Yeah. I kind of like him, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, whoever was calling, but we cannot answer calls while we're on the air.
So I guess, is there any class that you're especially excited about or some things you want to highlight for people?
Oh, gosh. I mean, honestly, and I tell our faculty this and our admin and potential students, I mean, pretty much anything that, you know, usually if I get an idea for a class or if someone presents an idea for a class, we'll, you know, if it was an idea, we'll, you know, we look for someone to fill that role. And a lot of the times the classes that we have are people just coming to us saying, hey, I'm qualified to teach this, or I have a PhD in this, or, you know, I've been teaching this for 20 years or whatnot. And so we just work with that and add it. But, I mean, personally, everything that I've decided to go with and that Shane has been supportive of is just things I want to take all of it. So I kind of think that's kind of the filter for what classes we'll have is would I take this class? Am I excited about this class? And yeah, I mean, I am pretty much excited about everything. And I'm definitely interested in like your dream class. And then we have like that class on Kabbalah. We're actually doing an occult philosophy class on Wednesday night. I'll probably take that. And there's a few other classes as well. A lot of this stuff, I feel comfortable with the material already. My history is astrology and palmistry and tarot and things like that. So I probably won't be taking those classes because I'll be teaching them more regularly. But we have a really cool class. A local guy, he's been in the community forever. He's quite the linguist, speaks many, many languages, over 10 languages, and he studies the history of language, and he's teaching a class on kind of the history of magical words in everyday language. So, you know, people will use a word, and they don't necessarily realize, like, the etymology of that word, where it comes from and what it means. And so there'll be a whole class just on that. So I'm really excited about that class, too. That was actually something I approached him with because I just wanted to take the course.
I'm still, in my mind, I'm still thinking about these rituals in the Bywater that you were talking about. I'm always back somewhere else. I'm always like, can we go back to that? So it made me start thinking about, like, practice spaces, and do you do that as well? And if you could talk a little bit more about those rituals. But first, like, are there any practice spaces? I know you said they're the dinner thing, but that doesn't really sound like taking what people have learned in the classes and bringing them into the streets or getting together and having these things where they strengthen through community these practices and these rituals and these spirituality, shall we say.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the plan. I think right now we're just focused on getting the material to people. But, I mean, we have a Wicca class, and so I'm you know, have no doubt that that'll turn into some people meeting in a circle, you know, monthly and doing, you know, call in the corners or whatever they decide to do. And I guess if we end up having kind of an esoteric meetup thing that ends up happening, we will. We've talked as far ahead. I want this to happen now, even though it's 3 years from now, most likely, you know, and so we've talked about kind of having like weekly, I mean, I joke around and call it church services, but just kind of weekly services where, we'll, you know, anyone is invited to stand up and say something inspirational. I might give an astrology forecast for the week or, you know, I mean, we have you know, but it's definitely, the community is definitely going to be the center of our kind of networking here. We're really, you know, we're not in this for us, and we're not in it for fame or glory and, you know, something and. This is a touchy subject locally, but something we've noticed with a lot of local stores or practitioners or just people who call themselves, you know, magical people or spiritual people is that their stores are really not spiritually oriented. They're not approachable. They're very standoffish. They can be rather rude or snobby, and we really don't like that. We feel like when you associate the magical arts, you know, with yourself, and then you represent it as something that people can't come and ask questions about, you know, that really turns off, you know, the community, and we really want to make it more available, more friendly, if you will, you know, and people usually say they're really surprised at how friendly we are, and that's just really a kind of a sign to us that, you know, that's because they've met other people who are, you know, involved in these types of subjects who are really not friendly at all, and we really want to change that. So, you know, getting involved with the community and reaching out to them and giving back is definitely at the center of our mission, so...
Well, you asked about some of the ceremony in the Bywater we did. That was back in the mid-90s, and we put flyers out. We'd get the entire community involved. You know, and back in the 90s, there was a gang that was running 400 pounds of crack cocaine into New Orleans every month. And the police department was on their payroll and such. So, you know, it's just too many dead in the streets. And we decided we were going to see if we could get some community action. And we would. We would get 200 or 300 people in the street and gather together, drums. People would leave offerings for the, you know, we would take all the offerings and give them to, you know, a transition house for battered women or something like that, and money and food and things. But we would sit and everybody would come and bring their own spirituality and pray to their own power, their own spirit to get rid of this scourge that was just killing everything in the city. And it was quite wonderful. And we even the New York Times came down and recorded. There's a picture of me and some of my drummers on the front page of the New York Times back then, which is really bizarre to know that happened in the Bywater, you know. And then we've gotten away from that in the city. And I wanted to, you know, incorporate that again and bring that sense of community back together. We're all in this together. And we got that right after Katrina. You know, for 2 or 3 years after that, I mean, it was the nicest, most beautiful time in New Orleans, even though everything was so utterly devastated. And then we've gotten away from that again. And the only thing left I see from that is that when the traffic signals go haywire, everybody stops. It's a four-way stop instead of yellow and red. And we still have that residual from that. But that's the only thing I see left. And everybody's gone back to their, to the gentrification, to it's you know, I got to have it, and it's a nice place. It doesn't flood here, so and we want to bring back that sense that we all belong here, we all here, and we're all connected to the earth. We're always connected to this earth, and like I had a friend of mine ask me about atheism the other day. He said, "Why do you think so many young people are claiming to be atheists?" And I said, "Because they never take their shoes off and touch the dirt. They're only always on their cell phone or always on their computer, and you never make contact with spirit." And that really brought it home for me when I was describing it to him. It really brought it home for me. And like you asked, I did want to do some ceremonies in public. We used to do White Buffalo Day ceremonies in Congo Square, where we would honor the White Buffalo Woman and bring all of that back. Bring it back, because
who's the White Buffalo Woman? if there is time
in Native American history, when the White Buffalo Woman, when the White Buffalo was born, and it comes into form spiritually as a woman, but when the White Buffalo is born, that symbols the end of it symbols revolution and great, great change. Well, the White Buffalo was born, and there's been one born of each color since then. And we do ceremony to bring that great change, that great cleansing, and to open ourselves up to the Great Spirit, and to be closer to the spirituality of this planet and of human beings themselves. And we'll talk more about that afterwards.
Sounds good. And one thing that I would be a little remiss if I did not bring up, a trans woman was murdered in New Orleans on February 9th. And there's been, you know, increased, at least for me now, visibilization of, certainly not in the mainstream media, but I don't think that I think we need to stop paying attention to the mainstream media as much and focus more, and not even talk about what they're not doing and just say, hey, we're our own
Absolutely.
Sources of information. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to lift up those the trans community and, you know, just really send some love and light out to folks. And hopefully we can be in the streets doing more ceremony, more ritual around things like this, because they're not stopping. They're continuing to go on, and we need to be ramping up our efforts and our energy and our visibility that we are not going to tolerate this, and that that every life matters, especially Black lives, trans lives, because those are the ones that are being told the most that they don't at this current time. So I just wanted to lift that up at this
Absolutely.
Time.
Spirit doesn't see color or gender or sexual orientation. Spirit doesn't see that. They see your spirit. That's it.
Yeah, so I guess the last thing is, how can people get in touch with you and get involved or sign up for classes? And
yeah, one thing that we did want to mention, and we'll tie it in this, is that we are a legal low-for-profit in the state of Louisiana, so we're a licensed L3C. So when people do donate money to us or take classes with us, they can write it off on their taxes. So, and then we're also the lowest cost esoteric school in the world, we've been told by people who are contacting us from other countries. And that's one reason why I had mentioned some people from France are interested in coming over and taking classes, because we're the most affordable. And, you know, like I said earlier, we're not in it for the money or fame. We really just need to pay the rent at our building, and then that's about it. our teachers, you know, our teachers get paid based on their enrollment. You know, me and Shane, you know, we don't get paychecks. We just do this because there's a need for this. And we know that our spiritual reward and I call it my karmic 401k is going to be a lot, you know, more beneficial in the long run than just, you know, a couple extra $100 a month. But, you know, we do have the website. It's just New Orleans School for Esoteric Arts.com. And then we're also on Facebook. You can just search it. It's just / New Orleans School for Esoteric Arts. And if you want to enroll, we have a phone number. It's 504-872-0972. And you can call. I think that the answering machine box might be full right now. So if you call and it rings, just try again. I have to clear it out. And then you can also email us. It's just the school's name at yahoo.com, New Orleans School for Esoteric Arts at yahoo.com. You can email Shane. It's jshanenorris@gmail.com. We're really pretty easy to get in touch with. I try to respond to emails within a couple hours if I can. And to enroll, you know, we just require a $40 deposit to hold your spot, and that goes to the school, and then it's a $100 course cost for the 8-week classes, and that goes to the instructor. People can pay their instructor directly. We do have a PayPal account set up through our Yahoo email. If you don't have PayPal, we can always send you an invoice. If you're not set up to do electronic payment, you don't have a credit card or bank account, you know, we'll take cash. That's fine. We just really want to make it approachable. We have a scholarship fund as well, where we give a 5-course ride to one student every session in the name of one of Shane's dearly departed friends. And then we also offer a work trade and kind of, we don't call it financial assistance, but if someone can't afford the $100 course cost or the $40 deposit, we will kind of work with them and see, you know, we're open, the teachers are open to barter, you know, that's fine. We're open to having, you know, people who just want to work as interns and take classes for free and they just trade the equal amount of hours, you know, and so we're very flexible. We just want to make this available. So really the best way to get in touch with us is just message us on Facebook or send us an email or just give us a call and then we'll go from there. But the registration information is also on Facebook and on our website. So if you want to get on and read it, you know, it's all on there.
Like Christy said, we are an L3C, which is a low not-for-profit organization. So we do take donations. We will happily take donations. Everything that we've done so far has come out of our pocket. Our classes are located in the Art Egg Studios, which is directly underneath the Broad Street overpass, which you could access that from Earhart near Claiborne. Also, we are required, as an L3C, we are required to give a portion of our proceeds, a portion of any profit we make, so to speak, back to the community, back to some sort of charitable organization, which at this case, we're giving away a scholarship to somebody who can't afford it. And in the future, we'll designate different organizations in the future, like LGBT or women, battered women or whatever. You know, there will be a different organization every time so we can support the entire community that way. So all of your donations, please. I promise we'll spend it wisely. So. And we're also working on a website. Our domain name is nosea.org, nosea.org. And at the moment, that takes you straight to our Facebook page. But we'll be up and running with that website very soon.
And then we get rid of the really long one.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in, and we hope to see you out in the streets. we wish the Esoteric Arts much school, the School of the Esoteric Arts in New Orleans, the New Orleans School of Esoteric Arts. I want to get it right.
The only one south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Much success.
Mm-hmm. And we are the only school also who's ever incorporated like voodoo and magical arts with occult studies, with astrology. There's not another school doing this. So this is basically just revolutionary, you know.
So, I mean, I guess the white buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So, yeah. So we're excited about it, you know. So,
all right.
Very cool. Thanks so